Hey everyone, you're listening to Conversations with the Fit Priest. I'm your host, Thelema Enang, and I like having hard conversations about relationships, love, Jesus, fitness, and everything in between. So that's what this podcast is going to do. Oh God, finally.
Hello.
Hi. I'm sorry. So my network is pretty horrible.
Gotcha.
So I'm just going to do another introduction. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of my podcast. I have Mrs. Ruth Joseph here today, and we're doing an episode on why I chose him. Can you briefly introduce yourself, and then we'll just jump right in?
Sure. So my name is Ruth Joseph of I Am Ruth Joseph. On all my social media platforms, I am a clinical research associate by day, but I also have a ministry called The Grace Beyond on all my social media platforms, which I am very vocal about empowering and encouraging Christian wives to not only get through unequally their own unequally yoked marriage.
Okay. So you're focused on specifically on unequally yoked marriages, right?
I am focused specifically on unequally yoked marriages because I too am in a unequally yoked marriage, and you can definitely thrive.
Okay. So my first question for you is, why did you choose your husband? And second question is, were you always Christian?
So first question, why did I choose my husband? I did not choose my husband. My husband chose me. When he pursued me, I was in a space where I had a built up wall from past relationship trauma. I wanted nothing to do with men or be in a relationship. I was okay with being a single mom and living my life. And his pursuit, he just never stopped pursuing. He continued on over and over and over again, regardless of how mean I was to him, regardless of how much I tried to ignore him. He just kept coming back. And I remember me one day saying to him, like, I don't know how many times you're going to call me, but can we just stop this? Because, listen, I'm not interested in you. And I don't want you to waste your time, and I don't want for me to waste my time. I have a daughter. I'm like not here for this. And he just kept saying, like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna be here this weekend. So I was thinking we could go out to eat or something, wherever you want to go, I'll go with, you know, I'll take you. And I'm just like, this man is crazy. So I even went further, thinking that, okay, if I insult him, he is really gonna be like, all right, cool, I'm out. And I told this man, I said, man, listen, I don't like you. You're fat. You're really short. I don't even like short men. You have a beer belly. I said that you don't even know how to dress. Like, I just don't like you. I don't want you. And man, his response was this. He said, okay, you say I'm short, but I'm actually taller than you. Okay. So that's one. You say that I am fat, but I don't know if you know, I don't think I ever got a chance to tell you that I'm a truck driver. And so I'm always on the road. I don't have any, you know, home cooked food where I can.
Hello, I think I lost you for a bit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. He said that he was a truck driver and he has home cooked food.
Yes. So he didn't have food that he wanted to eat, but he had to find food that was available. And then he said, you know, there's an LA Fitness everywhere around the world. So I could have easily gotten a card and gone to the gym and stuff like that. And he says, and back to me saying, you saying that I can't dress. He says, I'm a truck driver, but if you wanted me to dress a certain way, I'm not the picky type. You know, I'd give you the money. You go buy me what you want me to wear and I'll wear it. I was like, what in the, who are you? Like, this is crazy. And I'm like, I can't believe he said that. But everything that it was in my mind, it was so shallow, just really just uncalled for, because I was literally holding on to this list, you know, the list that we all have, you know, the 6 foot this,
tall, and handsome, dark and handsome,
all of that. Yes, smelled good, got that really nice swagger, can talk very well. I mean, he has the biggest accent. I mean, we are Haitian. And so I always like to call him, he is Haiti, because he inherited the accent of Haiti. Like, he is Haiti. Yeah. And so I was just, I don't know. I was like, ew, I don't want that. I want, you know, I wanted what I wanted. And so he didn't care. He didn't care about nothing I had to say. And so I remember me telling him one day, I said, you know what? My friends are coming in town. And since you've been here longer than me in Atlanta, how about you show us around? He says, okay, no problem. So my friends come, and then he said, one of my friends said, oh my gosh, you're going to marry him. I said, absolutely not, but you can. You can have him, because I don't want him. And we were at this dinner table at a restaurant, and we bought so much food, and we ate, and the bill came, and he picked that bill up so quick. It was over $400, and everybody was looking at me like, because I was sitting on the opposite side of him. I wasn't even sitting like next to him, like we were on some date. And so my friend looked at me and said, you better go sit right next to him right now, because he just paid for our food. So anyways, so I did that, and when I got home, I was living with my sister at the time. I asked my sister, I said, hey, what do you think about this guy? She said, ugh, he does not look like your type, but if you like it, I love it. So in American culture, when someone says that, especially in the South, if somebody says, if you like it, I love it, they're basically saying, I wouldn't choose it, but if that's something that you want, then I guess I have to be okay with it.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking in my mind, because she said that and she mentioned like my type has always hurt me. My type always do me wrong and leave me heartbroken, not wanting to go, you know, into any relationship because of what they've done to me. I've always been the one that have done things for them, doing things to access their love or their affection. It's always just been me doing the extra, going the extra mile just to make sure that they're comfortable, just to make, I mean, I would pay meals. Like, I was really like out of touch with what a female and a male should be doing.
Yeah.
Because I think I took the role of the male.
Just so you would seeking... basically go and above and beyond trying to buy their love, thinking that if they just saw you as worthy enough, then they would stay.
You said it right there. That's what it was. And I was just seeking this validation. Like, they actually love me. They like me. Look what I'm doing. You know? And so here in this moment, it's the opposite. And my sister's telling me, well, he's not your type. So you know what I said? I said, you know what? If he's not my type, I mean, what difference would it make if I tried it? Because maybe he'll hurt me, maybe he won't hurt me. But he was just so persistent that he didn't even leave me to like think about it, like have a moment to be like, oh, okay, let me think if this is gonna, you know, if I wanna pursue it. He just kept calling me, and then he said one day, it was like in 2 weeks, he said, you know what, I want you to be you're gonna be my wife. And he says, but you know, before I even do this thing with you, I wanna go meet your parents. Again, I'm like, who are you? Like, all of the people that I've encountered relationship wise have never wanted to meet my parents, never wanted to be around my family, never wanted to even give me a title. How about that?
Yeah.
It was like, I like you, you know, but it was, I would always be the one saying, what are we doing? Like, who am I to you? Like begging almost, which is insane. Now that I look back, I'm like, yo, you should always want to be with somebody that wants to be with you. Like, I should not have to, like, beg you to see me.
Yeah, you preachy.
Okay? Like, I shouldn't have to beg you to see me. But then that came with not understanding your self-worth.
Yep.
I was in a place where I really didn't understand that. I didn't understand that. Why? Because of the trauma, which then will lead you to feeling unworthy, feeling unvalued, feeling under, you know, like you're just not you. You don't know who you are. You don't know the value in
you.
You
are.
That you are a diamond. Like, we are, we're diamonds and we're rare, you know? So, girl, finally, I was just like, oh, gosh, this guy is not going to stop. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I guess. But my heart wasn't in it. It wasn't like I was just going to, oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, I love him so much. I just, oh, he makes me want to, oh, no.
It was more because, of just my choosing to leave me alone. So I'm just going to give it a try, whatever.
Uh-huh. Like an experiment almost. Because if he failed me, I am still okay because I expected it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah. So that was the thing. And then I go to my parents, and my parents, you know, in our culture, I think it's, you know, it's pretty similar. In fact, I think I took one of these ancestry tests long, long time ago. And, you know, I have some Nigerian
blood.
Yes, girl. Uh-huh. And so, you know how our elders are when it comes to like family and knowing, you know, people's backgrounds and things like that. My mother, if you come to her, give her 10 minutes, she will read you and she'll get your last name, and then she will call. I feel like she calls, like she's connected to whatever it is.
Yeah,
and
she calls everybody.
Everybody. And she says, tell me about this last name. And then she'll come back with a rap sheet, okay? Oh, you know, this family is full of abusers, is full of drunk, you know, all of that. But she could not find nothing on him and his family. Everything was just very positive. So my parents were like, well, I like him. They rejected all my other boyfriends, all of them. They don't want none of them, you know? But they didn't reject him. I felt like I was the one that was rejecting him. And I was hoping that they,
would reject him too so that it would give you a valid reason.
But that did not happen. So that led me to believe that, okay, I may be on that right track, but still, I don't know, man. In 4 months he bought me a car. In 6 months he said, hey, here's the money, go do your business, go do something that you love, do whatever. 8 months he asked me to move into his home. I said, I am not playing house with you. And even in that time too, I still went in. I still moved with him because I don't know why. I don't know why I moved in with him. But 3 weeks later, he proposed to me, and it just kept going on and on and on and into this relationship. And even within that time, I got pregnant, and I was thinking, oh my God, I did it again. Like, I got pregnant to a man. I'm not married. And it's like, he's going to leave me. I know he is, because my child, my first child, her father, 1 year old, left us. Until now, we still don't know nothing, right?
Oh, wow.
So I had this fear that he would leave me. And it would just be a cycling thing, just a generational thing. Like, it just keeps going on. And throughout all of that, girl, let's just say that he stayed in there. And I remember one time he said to me, he said, I don't know why you still got this wall up. But I'm not leaving you. And until you break this wall down, he said, I'm going to break this wall down. And I just sat there and said, oh, okay. Because I didn't think I had any wall up. You know, and I didn't think that I had an issue. I just didn't, I had to be safe. I felt like I had to protect myself. Even as I see.
Because you've never seen what safety looks like in love.
Boom. And so I said, even when I see things unfolding, it's exactly what I wanted, what I always envisioned, someone to love me and not me having to chase after him.
Someone to pick you no matter what.
Oh my goodness, pick me. Yes. And to show me how much you value me. And this man worships the ground that I walk on. Everything I need, want, desire, it's handled. Handled.
You better.
I'm telling you. And he sacrifices so much. When I thank God every single day that when I look back, I'm glad he chose me, because at that point, after my first son had gotten born, we had gotten married prior to, but when my son was born, he's now 7. Yesterday was his birthday. That's when I caught on to this love that he has been parading and trying to show me for that past year. Like, I never got it. It never sunk in that he loves me and that it's okay to love him back in the way that he's giving me. You get what I'm saying? Like, he's letting this love flow, and it's okay. Like, I'm just here.
You just said something that, like, I have to comment, right? Because when you said it's okay to give him back that love, I feel like a lot of times, right? And I work with, like, a lot of, like, women and men that have come out of, like, relationships or that want to date, but they're too afraid. So, like, a lot of women and men who, like, are questioning their self-worth because they've been in, like, traumatic relationships, and basically just helping them knowing how to date better, right? Yeah. So going through the entire course that we do, when we start to, like, dig deep into, like, self-awareness and all of that, right? What you said just reminded me of, because a lot of people, especially when they've been through, like, a lot of traumatic, like, love experiences, they don't understand that at some point, when the person who's going to love you properly finally comes, you actively have to give yourself the permission to actually love. Because you're holding back so much and you're building up a wall so that nobody can get through it. But then in trying to keep things out, the wall also keeps you in, right? And at some point, you have to realize that unless the permission is given, you never actually come out and stop hiding away, right? So like what you said just made me remember that.
Yes, you will never. And I gave myself permission because I did not want to. My eyes were open and I saw it. I felt like I was blinded before. I saw that he loved me, but I didn't. I don't know. It was just something. But again, like you said, you'll never be able to actually feel and see unless you give yourself permission. And when I gave myself permission, it just so happened that it was after my child had been born. I mean, there was this overflow that took over me. And it was like, almost like the scales off of your eyes have been removed. Mm-hmm. And then you see this man and it's like, where have you been all my life? Oh yeah, you've been here. You've been here trying to show me, but I just thank God that he never left, because people get tired. People get tired and they don't have to deal with it. They don't have to, you know,
have to stay.
Yeah. Why would they have to stay? Why wouldn't they want to be with somebody that truly loves them back in the way that they would want to be loved? But you know what? It reminded me of God. Like, we have done so much wrongdoings, but like his love for us, it's like something that is just, it's unexplainable, that nothing you do, nothing you say, how you act, nothing can change the way they feel about you. Yes, it sucks. Yes, they are sad. Yes, they are just,
yes, they are frustrated, but yes, they never actually leave.
Never. Have never said anything. I'd be aware of it. And then I would ask him, why do you stay with me? Like, why are you here? He says, what kind of stupid question is that? what kind of silly question is that? I'm here because I love you. I said, well, what does love mean to you? What, I mean, I don't understand. He says, love is being able to see past what you think is happening right now. Love is being able to see past your flaws. Because it's not one day you'll get out of that. It's just a season. Maybe it's just how you were raised. I don't know. You stayed with me. I've got flaws. And that's when that partnership really started to sink in, that, yo, he really loves me. And I've got to do the work. And I've done the work. Because now you can't tell me, husband, where? He's not going nowhere. It's mine.
How long have you guys been married?
We have been married for, it'll be 7 years come December. Seven years in counting, so I'm excited about that. Now, I know you asked for it was a two-part question. You asked, when did I actually become a Christian? I was born and raised in a church, okay?
So okay.
Christianity is not new to me. However, in my culture, there is three things that I could only do. That was the experience. The experience was school, which they say l'école, Lakai, which is home, and church, which is l'église. Those three things are the only things that I could do growing up. And so when I would go to church, which was every single day, Monday, we're going to somebody's house to pray. Tuesday, we're going to the church because we got to pray. Wednesday, we're going to Wednesday night Bible study. Thursday, it's choir rehearsal. Friday, we're going to go clean the church. Every single day, I had to be in church, okay? So I didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't know why I was there. I was bored half the time. The only reason why I was there, I felt like at least I had my friends. Mm-hmm. But when I finally got into an age where I could leave and say, I don't want to go to church, girl, I was out of there. I was out of there. But something had happened to me, I want to say 4 years ago. Yes, 4 years ago. And my son, my last son, he was 10 months at the time, and he had this cold. He had this coughing, this wheezing that just nonstop. And anybody can know, if you're listening and you're a mother, you know when your kids get sick, it's a problem for you. You're not at ease. You're not at peace. You're not calm, you know, because you want them to be better. You want them to feel better. So I would go to these doctor's appointments every single week. What's wrong with him? Oh, he's be fine. He just has a cold. He has a cold. Going on almost 2 months, I say, hey, listen, this is getting worse. He's not feeling well, whatever. Anyway, one day, I went to a party with my kids. It was my nephew's birthday, and I'm holding my child. And my sister said, huh, what's wrong with Mason? I said, what do you mean? He looks weird, right? She said, yeah, he don't look good. I think you should take him to the hospital. Took him to the hospital. Oh, mom, he'll be fine. It gets worse before it gets better. Blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. Still waiting. I go home. He can't sleep. I try to put him on the floor, just me and him cuddled up. He can't breathe. All I saw is almost death to me. Like, he just looked like he was dying. Not even the next morning. I woke up bright and early, and I told my husband, I said, hey, we need to go to the hospital. He says, why don't you listen to the doctor? I said, nope, not listening to the doctor. I'm going. You can stay, but I'm going. I get my car. I go. As soon as I get to the hospital, I start putting his name, register, whatever. And there's this nurse that's coming out. The nurse says, what's wrong with him? I said, he's not breathing. She looks at the boy, turns around and said, and she was trying to go home, looks at the boy and says, come with me. We go into this room. The next moment, all I saw was doctors flooding this room. And it was like people coming in like with IVs and trying to get his pulse and trying to get his vein, and they couldn't find a vein. And it was just a lot of drama going on. And I remember the doctor said to me, ma'am, we're gonna have to keep your child. I said, perfect, because he's not doing nothing at home. I cannot save him. I can't hold him. I can't do nothing. And then they said, well, we're gonna take him to the ICU. I'm thinking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's intensive, critical care. This is serious. I get in there, and even through that, I'm not as Christian as, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Barely pray, barely go to church. And so I get into this hospital room now. There's this nurse, just started probably 2 days ago, probably 24 years old. Anyway, she's writing on the board, yeah, my name is such and such. And she looks at Mason and she's like, huh, he doesn't look good. I said, well, yeah, really? He doesn't. And she goes to the doctor. Now, I don't know if you are aware of how the chain of command works, especially in the hospital setting. You cannot go and a nurse go tell a doctor what to do. Mm-hmm. The doctor has to tell the nurse what to do, right?
Yeah.
In this case, this 24-year-old looked at two doctors in the face and said, hey, this boy needs to go under now, into a coma right now, because he needs to rest his lungs or he's not going to make it. Doctor looks at him, at the girl, and says, no, what are you talking about? You know, just relax. We're going to do per the protocol. And the girl looked at the doctor and said, now. Oh, my gosh. I'm scared. Doctor's like freaking out, like, okay, I guess we're gonna do it. He does it. Mason's in a coma. Man, I'll tell you what, my knees automatically, I didn't care how dirty these hospital floors were, who spit on them, who had diarrhea, who vomited, I didn't care. I was on that ground. And I said, God, if you are who you say you are, you will heal my boy, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. And in 3 days, I kid you not, in 3 days, my boy woke up. Now, before that, the doctor was like, oh, when he wakes up, he's not going to know you. You know, he's going to have some, you know, it's going to be a little bit before he knows you, blah, blah, blah. But don't worry, be patient. Cool. When this boy woke up, every feeding tube that was down his throat, every cord, everything that he had, he woke up and he took all of it off. Mind you, I said 10 months old. He looked at me and he said, Mommy. Well, honey, that was the day I gave myself to Christ. Then I said, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Got baptized that following month, and the rest was history. All while my husband was unsaved and still is unsaved.
So my next question is, how did your husband take it when you regained after that incident?
He thought I was crazy. He said, you're going through a menopause. Like, what are you going through? A crisis? Menopause? You know, who have you been hanging around with? Like, what's going on? He was very, very, you know, curious as to what was going on. And I just said that God changed my life. Like, God changed my life. He saved our son. And he really looked at me like I had three heads. Three heads. He didn't understand. And so I would judge him. And I was like, what don't you get? Like, do you think that this is like, you know, it's just out of the air? Somebody came and, I mean, nobody came. He just healed himself. Like, he just, what, are you crazy? And I used to just be like so mad. Like, he didn't even come see my baptism. That's how upset. I was just so upset. Mm-hmm. But I was just so immature too. I didn't understand. I thought everybody was supposed to be saved, now that I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why don't you know about God? Like, what's the problem? As if I did not just get saved.
yeah.
But yeah, man.
So did it affect your marriage in any way?
Absolutely. I won't say that it affected in a way that it caused us to even pull out the D word. Definitely nowhere near there. But there was so much friction. And I think it was just me trying to adjust to this new way of life because, sorry, this was my partner in crime. Like, we partied together, like, we hung out with our friends, we drunk, we did all these things, like, and, you know, on Sundays we would hang out, barbecue, whatever. It wasn't a priority for me to go to church, although I knew that there was a God, you know. But like, to have a relationship with God, that was nowhere. I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't know that was even a possibility. I didn't know who God was. But when I started developing this relationship with God as a man, as a person that my friend that I can actually talk to, like, I was just seeing all the flaws in my husband. I was seeing everything that was imperfect in him. I was, and I was voicing it. That's another bad thing. I was voicing every single thing. And nights where I would be in my bed while he's watching his soccer, I would be reading my Bible.
Yeah.
And he would always be like, oh, so now you married to the Bible? Oh, so now you married to the pastor? So now all you want to do is just go to church? What's at the church? Is there another man at the church? Or, you know, this is garbage. Like, he would just say like that, things that would literally gaslight, like, fuel me to react. And I did, to be honest. I did. And I saw the friction. I saw it. And then one day I was just like, yo, this is crazy. Because prior to me being saved, we had never had an argument.
Yeah.
Never, ever had an argument. Sometimes I would poke him just to make him mad or something. Like, you know, because I was just like, what kind of relationship don't have any arguments, you know? But what I didn't understand, as a matter of fact, that is a blessing that there wasn't an argument, because we have disagreements, but we disagree to agree. But there was friction, so much friction. And I did not know what spiritual warfare meant. I didn't know these things. But I had a mentor, and the mentor one day I called and I was like, I'm just so mad. Like, why is it that he's doing this to me? And blah, 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 blah. And she listened to everything I had to say. And she said, why are you reading your Bible when you're spending time with your husband? Like, this is crazy. Do you not know that there is no reward in heaven for you to dishonor your husband? In this moment, this is you honor. This is you doing ministry. This is you doing God's work by spending time with your husband, fulfilling his needs. Do you think the one night that you don't read your Bible, like, that God is going to curse you or God is going to disown you? And in the beginning of you, you know, being saved, all you're thinking about, yes, baby, all you're thinking about is pleasing God. You're wanting to be validated. You're wanting to make sure that you're doing, finally, you're doing something right because you spent all those years of doing everything wrong.
Yeah.
And disobeying, right? So I wanted to obey. And I thought that this was the only way.
The only way to do it.
Yes. It was the only way to obey. It's to read my Bible. It's to pray. It's to go to church. And all of this is religion. It's religion. It's a culture. A culture that I ran away from in my childhood.
Yeah.
And realized that I was repeating that very thing in my household. Mm-hmm. So when she told me that, oh man, there was a light, you know, that I was just like, oh no, I don't want this. Because my parents, all they did was eat, breathe, sleep, their church.
Mm.
And I did not want that because I knew that if I continued in that way, he would resent me.
Yeah.
So I had to change it. And when I tell you, I tapped into the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit, when I tell you, he will guide you. He will teach you all the ways to ensure that you got a peaceful house. And I'm living my best life, man, I'm telling you, in this marriage, because one, I no longer care about the opinions of others. For me to go to church, which is one thing I used to do, and I used to be so embarrassed to walk in church with all my kids, knowing I have a husband and my husband's not here. Why? Because I was also seeking validation, almost like
from other Christians.
Yes. And I wanted God to be proud of me that now I got a husband, because mind you, I told you I had a kid out of wedlock.
Yeah.
I got kicked out of my church, not kicked out of my church, but I got kicked out of every activity in the church because I got pregnant.
Mm.
You know how traumatizing that is?
Yeah.
And instead of the church embracing and training you to understand what repentance means and guiding you in that
they
way,
they kick you out instead.
Exactly. So when I look back at that, they had a lot to do with church hurt too.
Yeah.
But Holy Spirit taught me, trained me, molded me, shielded me, made me understand, opened my eyes to see that, listen, when you go to church, you're not going to church for people.
Mm-hmm.
These are broken people. And if your trust in your opinions and all of that, all you see, you want validation in them, broken people, you're doomed. You are doomed. So I no longer cared about what people would say, how they viewed my relationship, what they thought of my husband, what they thought of my marriage, what they thought of how my children would be raised under a house that, you know, both of us are not in sync, as you will. They quote me the First Corinthians scripture about you should not be equally yoked. Great. But that means that they don't really understand who God is. You know, you guys, they're only given one part of who God is, but they don't want to give the whole part of who God is. The one who can redeem you, the one who could save you, the one who gives you grace every single moment. You know?
Yeah.
So.
This is like, this is such a good podcast. Wow.
It's my story. And a lot of us out here, I know people are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. I know people are struggling right now. And I know there are women that's listening right now that may be in a situation where it's just like, yo, they are ready to be out. But if I can encourage you, I don't encourage you to be out, because you are copping out. You are copping out. God has...
Hi guys, happy new year. I should have said this at the beginning of the podcast, but I wanted to go straight into the episode because network was really horrible and it took so much to get Mrs. Ruth Joseph to record the episode.
because we had to like find a schedule that worked and all of that. I apologize for the silence for the last couple of months. My phone is doing rubbish, to be very honest, and I need to buy a new phone, and adulting is doing the most. So yeah, but I've had this episode recorded and saved for a while, and I decided to release this and hope you guys enjoy it. Hopefully we can get Miss Ruth Joseph to come back on and finish the podcast episode, but for now that's most of the content that I got during our time together. I hope you learned something. The reason why I'm doing the series, why I chose him that I started last year, is because I wanted to show Christians that listen to my podcast how different situations exist, in the sense of like marriages and partnerships, and how some people don't always start out how you think that they started out, right? And there's always this story behind it. I also want to expose to you guys the different reasons that cause people to choose the partners that they choose, the life partners that they choose, really, and how they make like that kind of marriage or their marriage work regardless. So I hope that this series blesses you. I know I said I was gonna hopefully finish recording it last year, but last year was a year. It was a year. Yeah. Does this mean I'm back full time? Yes, I would try as much as possible to drop one episode per month, which is the most I can handle now because I have like a lot of workload. But please don't forget to like, save, share, subscribe to the podcast, and let me know if you enjoyed this episode. Bye.